Cut some singing short and turning your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. All right. I want you to pray for us tonight. Lord, just give us these thoughts that might be a help to you. This is one of them messages. I've been reading in the epistles, and I've been reading through Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. You know, it come on my heart the other day. I thought, my goodness, I ought to just get up in our church and preach every bit of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians just right straight through the church. That's what it was written to. You'd be surprised how much just tells us how to live. And most churches, I read that stuff and I thought, it's no wonder that most churches are in the mess they're in. They totally ignore what the Lord told them to do in those epistles. For example, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, that's a simple little verse, but who lives by that? Who lives by? I mean, you know, we preach on drinking and murder and adultery and robbing God and everything. What about that? Be ye kind one to another. Just kind. There's nothing sissy about being a kind person. Amen? Christian ain't supposed to be a grouch. Be ye kind one to another. I know people in this church that are very unkind to each other. Now you're sinning. You're sinning just like somebody drinking. And you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. And if you get mad at me, it's probably because you're guilty. If you're not guilty, that don't bother you a bit, me talking like that. You may not agree with somebody. There's no excuse for being unkind. Amen? You need to be kind to your husband, to your wife. What was that? I hit something there, didn't I? There's a crisis in this family right over here somewhere. You need to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake. What if God treated you just like the way we are, buddy? If you ever mess up one time, buddy, you're out. Well, you better be glad the Lord don't do you like that. You better be glad. I'm glad God don't. You know what helps me forgive people that do me wrong? I always think about how many times God's forgiven me. And I mean for the same thing over and over and over. And every time I say, I ain't going to forgive them no more. The Lord says, all right, I'll remember that next time you come crying to me wanting forgiveness. If He forgives us, we ought to forgive other people. Amen? Buddy, there's some stuff in them epistles. And this little verse that I'm going to read to you this evening is loaded with dynamite in Mark chapter 7. And look at verse number 1. This is something that every one of us needs to check up our lives. And I am talking to every person in here. Me first, then every single one of you. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him, Jesus, talking about Jesus, the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Notice it did not say obeying the Word of God. Holding the tradition of the elders. The message would be from verse 2 there at the bottom of it, where it said they found fault. They found fault. And I want to preach to you tonight on fault finding. Criticize. The word criticize means to judge or to find fault. And they looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and they saw his disciples just pick up a piece of bread and eat it. And they thought that was the awfulest thing ever was. They said, did you see them? They eat and didn't wash their hands. Now, there's nothing wrong with washing your hands before you eat. There's nothing wrong with not washing them either. Amen? I hardly ever wash my hands before I eat. I ain't seen nothing wrong with that. You know I can't stand sissies. I mean, I sweat and slobber and wipe my nose and everything, shake hands with 200 people, and then go eat French fries with my fingers. Now, I don't want to be nasty. I just don't think about it. Every once in a while, I wash my hands before I eat, but most of the time, I don't. I don't think it's a sin to, and I don't think it's a sin not to. Ain't no use getting all hung up on it. You say, well, you'll get a germ. You probably will, but did you know that there's a lot worse things a person can worry about than that? Can you imagine looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, sinless, and saying, oh, he did not wash his hands before he ate, and finding fault with God in the flesh? And them hypocrites had more sin in their life than probably all them disciples put together. Now, I want to talk to you about that tonight. You should never criticize a brother or a sister until you have been down the same road they've been down. You may find it a lot different if God ever lets you walk down that road. Now, most of us have to learn this lesson the hard way. And some people never do learn it. One of the things that I thank God for, the trials that I've been through, is that it's made me much more compassionate toward other people that have had problems. And I know that's one reason why God's let me have it, so that my heart will go out. But I've seen some preachers will just beat people over the head, and the preacher has not the slightest idea in the world what he's talking about. He don't even know what he's talking about. If he had gone down that same road, he'd probably done 10 times worse than the person he's criticizing. And the same with me and you. I heard a man sit right up there in our old building one time. And somebody in the church had backslid, and boy, they was giving him a hard time. He said, "I'd never do this. I'd never do that." That man's not even going to church tonight and doing worse than what he criticized that other person for. You better be careful. I better be careful. You better be real careful. So tonight, there's always somebody who's willing to criticize. The only exercise some people get is running down their neighbor, jumping to conclusions, and pushing their luck. They're always just with all their mouth. Now, I want to say 2 or 3 things tonight, and I hope it'll help us all. First of all, we are quick to criticize. We are quick to criticize. As a matter of fact, it's our nature. It's our nature. When you mention somebody's name, usually we think of whatever is wrong with that person instead of whatever is right. I'm like that. I fight to catch myself all the time. When somebody mentions something, we think, yeah, he done this too. Yeah, he reads out of the living Bible. Yeah, I know he believes in it. Yeah, he done. And now that may be true. That may be true. But we do not have to think the worst of everybody. There's a difference between preaching against sin and just being a downright fault finder. Now, Paul in the Bible, he preached against sin and even named people's names. Sometimes you have to rebuke sin. There is a difference between rebuking sin and just picking out people's faults. There's a big difference. Now, for example, now, oh, Peter, when you think about Peter, when I mention Peter in the average church, what does people think of? You get up and say, "All right, what do you think of when I think of Peter?" Most people think of, he denied the Lord 3 times. And they never let poor old Peter live that down. But they forget that he preached 1 sermon after that, and 3,000 people got saved. Now, if Peter had been a preacher in America today, if he had 1 time denied the Lord, he would never be allowed to preach in many camp meetings or fellowship. They wouldn't even let him preach. Why, I heard he denied the Lord. Bless God, he ain't preaching here. But I'm sure God didn't feel that way, because God used him to preach a sermon where 3,000 people got saved. Now, I suggest that until you preach a sermon in which 3,000 people are saved, you might ought to lay off Peter. Amen? Now, I don't agree with Peter denying the Lord, and that was a bad mistake, and it was a sin. Well, I tell you what, brother, I ain't got nothing to say against. He got right, and God still used him. Did you hear me? He got right, and God still used him. Now, you holy people ain't going to like this. All you holy people, you're not going to like this at all. You sinners are going to enjoy it. Now, you holy people are already feeling nervous right now, because you're feeling a little bit guilty and a little bit nervous because you've never done nothing wrong. At least you think you haven't. And you're in worse shape than anybody in here because you don't realize how wicked and low down you are. And brother, God will bless the person that realizes they're scum and realizes they ought to be shot. And God will bless them more than will a person who never thinks they've ever done anything wrong. Oh, you mentioned David. You know what people think about? They think David committed adultery. Oh, how horrible. David was out there on that porch, that roof that night when he ought to have been out there in the battle. That sorry David, he ought to be ashamed of himself. No, that's true. David did do wrong. David ought to have been ashamed of himself. David did make a terrible mistake and commit a terrible sin and broke 2 of God's commandments there in 1 whack, murder and adultery. I want to tell you something else David done. David wrote the 23rd Psalm. David wrote most of the book of Psalm. David went out and stood against a giant that the entire army of God was afraid to face, and got the job done, and done one of the greatest acts of faith
in the history of the world. So I suggest, until you kill a 10-foot man with a rock, take his sword away from him and cut his head off, and write something as greatly used of God as the 23rd Psalm, we might ought to lay off David a little bit. I'm not taking up for what David did wrong. Don't get too holy on me. I'm telling you what this evening, brother, we are quick to remember the faults of others. We are slow to remember their good points. We've had people come into this church. I'm thinking of a woman right now. She had a bad past. She came to our church before. Many of you would know her. I called her name. And brother, it just seemed like that people would never let that woman get over her past. It seemed like if somebody one time ever messes up, you mark a black spot on their name, and brother, you just say, I'll never, ever, ever have any confidence in that person at all. Now, I'm going to say this tonight. That person, that part of the consequences of sin is that you do have a black blotch on your name. And you do, I do, we all do. Sin will haunt us and follow us. But that does not mean God can't bless a person. And that does, I mean, the Bible's full of illustration where God does, He has used and blessed a person, sometimes even greater after they got right and were used by God. And so you better be careful. Thomas. What do people think about when you think about Thomas? You say, who's Thomas? Oh, he's the doubter. He's the one that doubted God. He's the one that doubted the Lord when he come in there. I don't know. I don't know if we ought to be so hard on Thomas or not. Now, first of all, he was one of the 12 disciples. He had healing power, could preach the gospel. I ain't one of them. And second of all, you don't kind of blame him, because if he hadn't have seen the Lord and he went out and preached that he rose from the dead, and people said, how do you know? He'd have just said, them other fellas told me. But he said, I'm not going to believe until I see him and put my hand in the prints and all of that. So then the next time he went out and preached, he said, I know he's alive. And they said, how? He said, I seen him. I saw him. I saw the nail print in his hand. And he, of course, gained the reputation of Doubting Thomas. Now, the way to avoid criticism is say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. If you don't say nothing, don't do nothing, don't be nothing, nobody will have anything to say about you. Say something, do something, be something, and you're going to catch it. I think about Billy Graham. I'm not going to get in an argument with you about Billy Graham. Billy Graham does some things I do not personally agree with. But I tell you what, I'm not going to waste my ministry taking pot shots at Billy Graham. Lord have mercy, people. There's a whole Bible there for me to preach. I've got a whole life to live my own without some preachers are just obsessed with tearing down other people in ministry. Now, I'm not saying compromise. I'm not saying go along. You name any preacher on TV and I can tell you something they do that I disagree with. And I'll bust it and I'll preach against it. But as far as finding fault with the man, I ain't got time to fool with it. That's his business between him and God. Personally, you want my personal opinion? This ain't the Bible. This is my personal opinion. I believe God has used Billy Graham as much as He's used any man in the 20th century. I mean, there's drunks that have laid on the couch and listened to Billy Graham preach that never darkened the door of the house of God and rolled out on the floor and got down on their knees and got born again. I mean, nobody can deny that. So I tell you what, brother, if a man's not against him, I think he's getting people saved and God's using him, I just say, hallelujah, more power to it. I mean, it's between him and God what he does wrong. But you know, sometimes we get all caught up. And we get all caught up. And kind of a, you know what? That's what happens to a lot of young preachers. They get into this thing, well, he does this wrong, I ain't going over there. And they do that wrong, so I ain't going over there. And I don't believe in going to this group because they do this. And I don't go over there because they're Southern Baptist. And I don't go over there because they're Methodist. And I don't go over there because they believe this. And I don't go over there because that preacher believes that. You know, the first thing you know, you're going to have your own denomination. And you're going to be the only one in it. And then you and your wife are split before it's over with. You know why? Because, brother, you have got to realize that people have thought. I know this one guy, he caused trouble in a church one time, and I asked his preacher, I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? I said, he left and went over here. I saw him a little bit later, I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? He left there and went over there. I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? He left there and went over there. I said, whatever happened to so-and-so? He said, last I heard, him and his wife was having church in their basement. And I bet you they've had it out by now. Now you can't get like that. You can't get the attitude of I'm right and anybody that don't see it like I see it's wrong. You can't do that. Now you're supposed to be right and you're supposed to believe what the book said. I'll tell you one thing, brother. We are quick to criticize. Anybody doing anything's going to get criticized. Now, how many of you in here have been criticized and it got back to you and hurt your feelings? Raise your hand. Boy, that's all of us. It has me. And that hurts, don't it? That hurts. Now, we ought to think about that before we say something about somebody else, because I promise you, somebody's going to tell them what you said. I know a bunch of things in here some of you said about me, but I ain't never mentioned. I mean, it hurt my feelings. I mean, really, it hurt my feelings. And you say, well, I'll tell you this, but don't you tell nobody. You know good and well they're going to tell somebody. And, secret is something you only tell one person at a time. That's what it is. And I tell you what, brother, it's going to get back to them and it's going to hurt their feelings. And I want to tell you why tonight. People criticize. The reason people criticize, the first reason is that they're under conviction. God's dealing with them and they realize they ain't living like they should live. So the only way they can relieve their own guilt is poke at somebody else and focus on other people's faults. They see you doing something. They get convicted because they're not doing it and they begin to find fault. I know of a woman one time. She had a teenage daughter who wanted to come to church. And I told her, I said, boy, your daughter wants to come to church regular, don't she? And the mother did not want to come to church regular. She laid out about 2/3 of the time, and she looked at me and said, well, the only reason she goes is to see the boys. But you know what's wrong with that woman, don't you? She's under conviction. And I thought, well, listen, let me tell you people something. There is nothing weird about a 15-year-old girl that likes boys. You might as well get that through your thick noggin. It's normal. If she don't like boys, she's weird. I mean, some do it less than that. I mean, they may be 16, 17. My little girl's never liked a boy. You're kidding yourself what you're doing. She just ain't told you about it. There are. And I tell you what, I'd a whole lot rather want to see a young man at church than I had be at the movies, wouldn't you? Now that woman's problem is she's under conviction. She's filling up. Well, the only reason she wants to go is just to see the boys and talk with their friends, blah, blah, blah. I thought, well, honey, at least she wants to go to church. That's more than I can say for you. At least she don't sit at home and watch soap operas all day like you do. I'm telling you today, brother, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, people are under conviction. You know, take old Jack Hiles, him up there. Boy, they get criticized. You go in preacher's meeting, and some preacher get up and preach 30 minutes on what's wrong with the bus ministry and what's wrong. You know what's wrong with a guy like that? He feels his conscience is bothering him. And he sees people winning people to God, and he's not doing it. And so he's trying to bring everybody else down to his level so he won't feel so guilty. Can't you figure that out? Somebody come to Ohio one time and they said, well, I just don't agree with the way you're doing it. He said, well, I like the way we're doing it better than the way you're not doing it. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't agree with some things they do either. So what? To his own mastery stand to their fallen. They have many, many thousand people saved every year. I ain't got nothing to say against it. I mean, that's between them and God. Amen. Boy, it'd be good if we could learn to live that way. They begin to find fault with the way you do it. They begin to find fault with the way you do everything. I'll guarantee you some of you'll find fault with Brother John leading the choir. You'll find fault with Kathy playing the piano. You'll find fault with Brother Tim up here a while ago. You'll say, well, they ought to do that. Well, I ought to do that. That's easy. That's easy. And many times you just feel guilty because you're not doing anything yourself. The second reason people criticize is they are jealous. They're jealous. Most of the time when people criticize somebody else, they are simply jealous. Now, they're jealous because you're doing something that they're not doing, not to be doing. I've heard people say, well, I'll tell you one. We've had cases here, right here in Marion where a kid got right with God and wanted to start coming to our church, and there was on drugs and everything else, and her mom and daddy, one of them was a preacher, and forbid his child to come back to this church. You believe that? I mean, he'd rather be on drugs than to You know a guy like that, what his problem is? He's jealous. And when you're jealous of somebody, you immediately start finding fault with them. Well, she thinks she's it. He thinks he that. Then what's the matter? Turn a little green around the ears, ain't you? Now, most of the time, the people that you're jealous of, you're really foolish for being that way because they got problems and burdens just like you do. And if you was in their shoes, you'd want to be back in your own shoes. But I tell you what, that jealousy will sure make you. You know, I had a real compliment paid me the other day. There was, a lady told me, she said, did you hear about a preacher down the road here a little ways in the next town, somewhere down around Hickory? They said he had an affair with a woman. And I said, you know, I didn't even heard that. And she said, I can't believe you've not heard that. She said, every preacher in the country knows it. And I thought, well, glory to God. And she said, I can't believe. She said, you're the only about independent Baptist preacher that I know of that don't know that. I said, I didn't know a thing about it. And you know what? I started thanking God that I stayed busy enough to keep me from going around hanging around the steakhouse half a day talking to a gang of preachers. Amen. Hey, you ain't going to see me sitting out here at McDonald's without eight preachers around me for 2 or 3 hours every Monday morning. I don't do it. You know why? Two reasons. I ain't got time and Corey wouldn't enjoy it. And number two, I don't want to hear their trash. Amen. I heard this, I heard that, I heard this, I heard that, I heard this, I heard that. Well, I'd about soon be asleep. I've been to them preachers' fellowship meetings when all it was just, you know, I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch mine, and I'll do this if you'll do that, and we'll politic around here, and may put a good word for me in that church over there, and try to see if you can get me to let them and get up and blast everybody else like that. I ain't got time. That's a sickness mess you have been in your life. It ain't no runner in the world that God can't bless the churches with an attitude like we've got. Oh, I could tell you things if we wasn't in close to home. I could tell you things tonight that would shock you. Underhanded, backstabbing going on among churches and preachers that's supposed to be on the same team working together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's jealousy, brother. It's jealousy. That's all you can make out of it. Now, just look up what I done a while ago. I didn't know I was going to say this. Really, I did. But how many preachers you think right here in McDowell County would not even mention that service at Zion Hill tonight because they're afraid their people might go out there and get a blessing and then compare and they might want to start going out there all the time. That's sickening. We have preachers all over the country that won't even announce the youth rally because they're scared that their young people will come here and like it and want to start coming more often. I tell you something. Listen, we're in bad shape. If you can get something that'll feed your soul out there tonight, go get it, brother. Go get it. I ain't a good enough preacher to keep all you in straight. I ain't. That's why, buddy, people say, boy, our church really grew when it first started. You know how our church grew up there in the old building? We passed out tapes to everybody all the time. It wasn't my preaching. We'd say, here, take this home, listen to it. I mean, we'd give them everybody. We'd get tape them, give them here. And boy, they'd come back in. People said, boy, you're really feeding them, ain't you, Brother Danny? I said, yeah, I'm feeding them all right. We're giving them tapes, man. Listen to them while you're doing the ironing. Listen to them while... You know, there's some preachers that's jealous if their people want to go hear somebody else preach. That's the stupidest, most ignorant thing way to be I've ever heard tell of in my life. I ain't got enough to feed all you people and give you what you need. I mean, listen, every preacher that'll help you, every chance you get, go hear them. I mean, you know, you ought to support your own church, but every chance you get, stick you in a tape in your tape player, read some good books, get your soul fed. You say, well, Brother Danny, won't you get jealous? If I do, I'll just have to ask God to forgive me. That's my sin. That ain't your problem. Sometimes I think, boy, if I was to die and they got another preacher, I'd come back and haunt them. But then I think, well, my goodness. You know, that ain't, I mean, can't you see me up there in heaven? Says, ah, Lord, they never done that for me. He'd say, shut up, you didn't deserve it. I'd say, you're right about that, I'm shutting up. I just won't look at them no more, it's ruining heaven for me. I shouldn't be like that, should I? No, it's jealousy. Not only that, it's easy. Easiest thing you ever done is find something wrong with somebody. It requires no talent, no work. Any lazy bum can do it. You know, the Bible said in Acts 17, some of them people spent their time in nothing else but to hear or tell some new thing. It almost gets comical. It almost gets comical. I told them at the business meeting, I don't know if I should say this, but ain't many of us here tonight, a few hundred. So I've been accused of everything, like I told you before, from selling drugs down here to beating the babies back there in the nursery. And it's, you know, especially in my situation, well, I heard Danny did this, I heard Danny did that. They've been like for the last 2.5, nearly 3 years, them people hear it all the time at work. Well, I heard this. I heard one preacher called all the way down to Florida and had some other people call some other people and other people call some other people back down there to find out if I'd got married. And he just lives not far from here. My number's in the phone book. Brother Mike McDaniels, he goes around. He said, Brother Danny, everywhere I go, people say, well, I heard this about Brother Danny. I heard this, Brother. I said, what do you want me to tell? I said, give them my phone number. If a man's too chicken to call somebody and ask him what he wants to know, he ought to go stick his head in the dirt somewhere and ask God to give him a little grace. Big, bold soldier of the faith, scared to call him. And I said, I heard your preacher got married. John said he come that close. He said, I come that close. He said, yeah, he married a black woman and it was a have-to case. I said, you should have told him, brother. You should have told him. Anybody ain't got no more sense than that. Amen, preacher. It requires no talent. It's the easiest thing you ever done. Like the Italians say, he who wants mule without fault may go afoot. That means, brother, if you want something that's perfect, you may wind up without nothing. I'm telling you, it's easy to find fault. It's easy for me to find your faults. It's easy for you to find my fault. They found fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, you cannot, a church, I know of a church right now that's having big problems. See, the devil don't always come in the way you think he's going to come in. I mean, we always think, yeah, I know what. They're going to find out that somebody's been embezzling money preacher and piano player run off together. Or they're going to find out this. Or they're going to find out. That ain't always the way the devil does it. The devil works in the members getting little bitty things going. Little bitty. Little foxes that spoil the vines. And the first thing you know, I mean, if you want to get in a fault-finding contest, Lord, there's no end to it. And it hurts your feelings, and it really bothers you. Here's how to handle it. The first thing you've got to remember is, don't fight back. Don't fight back. There's a preacher down in South Carolina who really, really, really said some bad things about me a few years ago and tried to keep people from coming to youth rallies and talk other churches out of coming and everything. Really bad-mouthed our church. And he was well-respected in that area. And I know some things about him that would totally destroy his ministry. All I had to do was say it. And the temptation said, well, why don't you just tell them what he is? And then God said, God said, if you do it, you're just as bad off as he is. God said, you're my man. I've called you. You get busy and preach and win souls and pastor the church and raise your kids. And quick, stay out of that garbage mess, out of the dumpster business. And I'll take care of it. I mean that, brother. I mean that tonight. Don't fight back. Our preacher taught me at Nebo Baptist Church a long time ago. He said, no matter how they treat you, no matter how bad they talk about you, he said, stay sweet.
stay sweet. Don't get bitter. Don't get a bitter spirit and get mean and ugly and hateful about it. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured you again. Be nice. Sometimes people just, they just feel better if they can find fault with something. Go ahead and let them think they found something wrong. It's nothing to fight about. Let them think it. So Michelangelo had a great big sculpture one time, and the sculpture was almost near perfect, and a critic came up and said, "Well, the knee over there don't look good. It's not shaped right on the knee." And Michelangelo took a little handful of dust, and he went over like this and took his hammer and didn't even hit it. Just went ding, 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 and sprinkled that dust down. And the critic said, "Ah, that's much better." You see what I'm saying? It's like the lady who pulls up to a service station and said, "Something don't sound right in my car, sir." "Raise the hood, ma'am." "Raise the hood." You know, he'll peck around on it here, turn a screw here, and not do nothing to it. "Boom. Now try it." Yes, that's much better." Some people, you know, they feel good if you let them find something wrong. So just comfort them. The feeble-minded, the Bible says, comfort the feeble-minded. Number four, let me talk to you about people who criticize. The people who are critics are the ones who are not doing it. It reminds you of them movies up there in New York. They call them the critics, you know. The critics say. Them critics ain't never made a movie, most of them. Who cares what the critics say? They don't know what'll be a success and what don't. The critics are the ones who are not doing anything. In a running a race, you don't have time to stop and watch another run. If all of us are running the race, and I'm running here, and Bruce is running there, Gary's running there, Brother Ray's running there, or we're running a race for the Lord, I don't have time to stop and say, "Bruce ain't paying attention. Look at him writing. He ain't writing in the Bible neither. It's a love letter to Churl. I hope it's Churl." See, I ain't got time to stop and look and see what he's writing. I'm preaching. See, I'm supposed to be over here in my lane, running like this. I go there, "Sam, look at them dumb-looking cowboys. Looks like if he's going to wear them, he can at least shine them. Them things ain't had no polish on them in 5 years. Can we find something wrong with hat? Look, no socks in the house of God, man. What do you think this is? A bar?" And I wasn't kidding, I meant that. "All right, big boy, you're next." "Oh, I done got you tonight, ain't I? Bobby. Gaining weight. Got that surfer watch on. Ain't said amen the whole service tonight. Tim, self-righteous, gets up there. Thinks he's the best singer in the world. Makes you sick, don't he? Look at this hippie." See how easy that is? I didn't practice this, but I'm just popping. You know what I mean? Let's just go around there by tonight. Well, let me see the last time. When's the last time this has been to visitation?
There you go, brother.
Well, we could do it, couldn't we? It's easy. You know, that don't make you something big, find fault with somebody. That don't mean you're something great. Now, you got to preach, and you got to stand against sin. But the best thing to do is stay real, real, real busy. Real, real, real busy. One of the best favors God's ever done me in my life is give me so much to do that I don't have time to jump on the bandwagon of the critics. I got enough to do this week to keep me real, real busy. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. All right, let's bow our heads and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight. Lord, we know this is a sin that we all have problems with. Every one of us. Lord, I'm guilty and I pray that you'll forgive me. And God, I ask you to forgive me for being too quick to criticize a brother or a sister. Lord, don't let me ever compromise, but help me to love people and be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to criticize, find fault. I know it's not going to do them any good, and it sure ain't going to do me any good, and ain't going to do the church any good. Help me, dear Lord, to do what your word said, edify one another. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless now our church. Lord, let us love one another. God, we know the devil would do anything in his power to tear up what you've done here. Don't let him do it. Rebuke him. Rebuke him. Build a hedge around this place. And I pray that every single person here tonight, maybe who needs to get right with you, will do something about what they've heard here tonight. Work on every heart. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.